Welcome to the EDUCAUSE podcast. If you'd like to find more sessions, interviews, and story podcasts, visit our podcast page at www.educause.edu/podcasts or search for EDUCAUSE on iTunes. This podcast features a program session from the EDUCAUSE 2010 Annual Conference.
I'm Wendy Lujak. I manage IT strategic communications at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. I am part of the IT division, University Information Technology Services, or UITS, and part of my role is also to execute communications during an IT meltdown, which is what we'll be talking about today.
I'm Melissa Wu, and I'm the techie propeller head who doesn't know how to communicate, which is why we have Wendy.
So, in the beginning, we knew that we weren't communicating very well to the campus community during an IT incident. We weren't consistent, and oftentimes we weren't very timely. So in June of 2008, I chartered a project called the IT Alert Systems Project. And that project had two goals. The first was to gather requirements from our campus community. How soon did you need to know that something's not working properly? And how do you want to know? What kind of media should we use? The other deliverable that we had was to develop a process so we could go forward and meet the campus needs. In order to define campus needs, we used two different processes. First was an online survey for faculty, staff, and students. And then we did one-on-one interviews with key stakeholders, primarily campus leadership, but we also went out into our local IT communities, those IT professionals located in units across the campus. And we also talked to our own IT professionals internally in central IT. What we discovered was that, on average, the campus wanted to know about an IT incident within 10 minutes of it happening. So now we had our benchmark. Secondly, they wanted to know, be made aware of the issue via the UWM homepage. Both of these proved to be very problematic. The UWM homepage is used primarily as a marketing tool, and the vice chancellor of university relations was hardly going to give over his homepage every time we had an IT incident. Alert, alert, email's not working today. So we went before the web steering committee and came up with what we thought was a good compromise. When we have an IT incident, we put a small icon in the lower right-hand corner of the web page. It's a triangle with an exclamation point. That links to the IT status page where we have information about that particular incident and headlines about scheduled maintenance and other kinds of things going on with IT. Keep in mind that this project that was chartered, we could not procure any new hardware, nor could we get any new software. We had to use what was available, hence why we came up with the tiny little icon on the UWM homepage. Now, email proves to be very problematic as well, because that, too, is coordinated through the Vice Chancellor of University Relations. And so when we have an IT incident, we have to receive permission to go to the general campus community from the Vice Chancellor of University Relations, because we want to keep those all-campus emails down to a minimum. We've got about 40, 45,000 accounts. So we want to make sure that we don't cry wolf too many times. So the primary way that we alert the campus community is through that icon in the corner and then through the IT Systems Alert webpage. So how did we implement our process at UWM? The first thing that we did, and it was very, very important, was we defined roles and responsibilities. We knew what we needed to do. Then what we had to do was determine what tasks were necessary to deliver information to the campus community within 10 minutes, and we assigned those tasks to roles. We did not identify staff at that point. Then we developed a repeatable process. Very important, because it helps manage campus expectations and it makes it easier on your IT staff if they know every single time there's an IT incident what they need to do. Now, every incident is different, and so we rely on the professional judgment of our staff sometimes when they have to make a decision. Do we go this way or that way? Next, we draft a documentation, and that documentation is both flowcharts as well as descriptive material that we put on our intranet for all staff to be able to see. Then we trained our technical staff. We brought together those individuals that are authorized to post information to the IT status webpage, and we talked to them about how to draft a message, how they should update, what kind of information should they include. IT people, by nature, are not necessarily good communicators out to the campus community. So we've had to work with them, and they've done an excellent job of being able to write those initial alerts and get them out on the IT status webpage. The last thing that we did was a little bit unusual. We conducted all staff sessions. We have about 150 employees at UW, within IT at UWM, and we required every single central IT person to attend a one-hour session called IT Strategic Communications, Why You Matter. And the way that we approached it was we had them role play the various roles that we had identified in our IT incident process. So we set out a scenario. We usually had 10 to 20 people in a session, one-hour session. We divided them into groups and said, you're the help desk person. What's going to happen when you receive a call? What are you going to do? And this helped them understand what the internal processes were when we had an IT incident. They knew what was going on. We also impressed upon them their role. We have people that are a creative services staff, a visual designer, who would say, well, what do I need to know about this? Because you represent the division, and when you walk across campus and somebody says to you, I heard your email's out again today, you can tell them where they might find information, and you can understand the process that we're going through in communications. So it became very important to not only train the internal staff, but also to train the entire staff, and it's been very successful. So who are the key players during an IT incident on our campus? First up is the help desk, because they serve as the central point of communications. Their role is to collect information from the campus community, because it's generally there where the campus will call and say, something funky with email today, or I can't seem to get to my files in the central file storage system. So the help desk serves as that first point of contact. Their role is to assess the information, see if they can repeat the process, and then determine if they need to escalate it upwards. They also serve as a key point of contact as an incident unfolds, providing information about workarounds and where to get additional information. The next role is the incident coordinator. Now, this role only exists in our division when there's an IT incident. It is unique to an IT incident. And this individual receives the initial information from the help desk and often will post the first posting to the IT status webpage and will activate that alert icon. The next role is the soup on call. Supervisor on call is generally contacted by the incident coordinator, and that individual is responsible, again, for assessing the situation, determining what needs to be done, and then also calling in the technical staff. What staff need to be called in to resolve this issue? Technical staff is responsible for assessing the situation and hopefully resolving the issue. They're also responsible for providing workarounds. If there's some way that we can help our campus community during a particular incident to continue to do their work, we want to provide them that information. And oftentimes that will come from the technical staff. The next role is the incident communications coordinator. This, too, is a unique role that occurs only during an IT incident. Often that's Melissa. She gets to be the incident communications coordinator. Her role is to serve as the conduit between the soup on call and some of the other individuals. We keep our technical staff at bay. They work on the issue. Nobody calls them except the soup on call. So the incident communications coordinator will often upstream communications as well, which you'll see in just a minute. And finally, we have the IT strategic communications manager, and that's me. I gather all the information, often from the incident communications coordinator, sometimes from the soup on call. Oftentimes I will call the help desk and ask them, how many tickets are you getting? What are people asking about? And then I will assess the situation towards issue resolution. How soon are we going to be back up? And then determine the action that needs to be taken in terms of general communications to the campus community. And then I will execute those communications. So, how do all these work together? These roles work together during an IT incident? Melissa will tell you.
So you're probably wondering, there seems to be a lot of roles here, but part of what should be understood is the reason we broke this out into so many roles was based on skill sets, abilities, but also that no one role became overloaded at any one time during an incident. So we've got a little bit of a workflow here for how this works. And I was telling Wendy that it actually needs to be a giant roaring fire instead of a little blinky caution thing. So this, basically the campus community knows something's wrong. You hear the rumblings, the deans are yelling, the VCs are probably yelling as well, and a lot of staff can't get work done. So what the campus community can do when they know something's wrong or they think something's wrong is they can either submit something through a web page or they can call the help desk. There's also another situation where we might find, which is where our own technical staff are in the middle of troubleshooting a problem, and that's another path of escalation. So the help desk, as Wendy noted, turns around and contacts the incident coordinator. And these two roles keep each other updated on a periodic basis. And as Wendy indicated, our incident coordinator can post the initial posting to our IT status webpage, which automatically then sends a post to both Twitter as well as an RSS feed. And both on all of these are accessible by the campus community. And our incident coordinator also contacts the supervisor on call if it's warranted. And those two people also continue to communicate with each other during the incident. And as Wendy indicated, the supervisor on call is the single point of contact for our technical staff. And this is really actually to protect them so they aren't trying to fend off half a dozen different people's inquiries about what's going on, what's broken, how close are we to getting done. They have one point of contact so they can actually resolve the problem and do their jobs. Now, if things are really, really bad, if it's a major incident, then what we do is we bring more resources into the fray. And the supervisor on call will contact the incident communications coordinator, which is normally me, but I also have a backup who hopefully knows I'm here this week. And what the incident communications coordinator does is not only continue to communicate with the supervisor on call, but also does the upstream communications. So I will call the CIO, for example, if I think it's warranted. If the CIO isn't around, then unfortunately, I get to call the provost and the vice chancellor for university relations. So I always hope that the CIO is around so he can do that instead. And the other thing that the incident communications coordinator does will often contact the IT strategic communications manager to help with basically facilitating getting the communications together, and mainly, most importantly, getting the content together. And what's so important about the IT strategic communications manager is that she provides a reality check for the techie propeller head, which is me. And what the IT strategic communications manager then does is to help facilitate and develop the content for different means of communicating with the campus community. So, for example, one of the things that the IT strategic communications manager will do is put together all the information to justify what we call a blue line on the campus homepage. And that is used only extremely sparingly, and it's truly a really major justification. And I think only she can do that as well. She's very convincing. Another thing that she does is she helps to put together the content of, say, all campus emails. And yet another thing that she helps put together are FAQs that we might be offering from the help desk, as well as scripts the help desk consultants can use when communicating with the campus community. And I think the most important point to make here is that we're offering many different ways for the campus community to be aware of an incident, and we actually want to add more. There's been some discussion about Facebook as well. And another thing that the incident communications coordinator does, going back to that role, is not only does that person communicate upstream with senior leadership and talk to the IT strategic communications manager, but that's the person that also communicates targeted communications to campus IT professionals who will want a little bit more information because they've got clients that they have to support. So we always have to be very, very aware as central IT people that our colleagues in the field actually have people that are yelling at them as well and want to know what's going on. And we want to make sure that we're respectful of their roles, that they can actually be professionals as well and know what's going on. And the other, well, and also campus leadership. So what have we learned and hopefully what will help you in developing your processes in communication? One thing we learned definitely, and if you hadn't figured this one out by now, is that process is really critical for communications. It basically keeps us from running around in small, tight circles. It means that we're more organized. It means that we don't forget steps, and probably that's the most important part. Another thing that we've learned is we definitely have to be open to feedback from our own staff as well as the campus community and other IT professionals. In other words, this is a continual improvement process, and we've done this a few times now in order to make our own processes more effective and more efficient. And the other thing that's really important is that all the staff have to understand their particular roles, and they have to know the process ahead of time. Because what we were finding before we had processes and roles in place is that people were doing the same thing and didn't all know that they were all doing the same thing at the same time. And so there were often problems with cross-communications or redundancy. And, of course, this is my shout-out to Wendy. It's really important to have dedicated staff for strategic communications. I can't even speak to how valuable having Wendy around has been. As I mentioned earlier, not only does she provide a reality check for us tech propeller heads, she'll often just ask me, what does this thing that you wrote me even mean? This doesn't mean anything to a real person, Melissa. You're not a real person. So that's something that she's very important at. And the other is simply that having Wendy around as a dedicated person is it frees up the operational people to actually attack the problem at hand. I'll hand this off to you.
We talked about managing campus expectations, and the only way that you can do that is if you understand what your campus requires. And that's why when we had the IT Systems Alert Project, the first thing we did was we asked the campus community, what do you need during an IT incident as it relates to communications? And they told us. So managing campus expectations is very important. You can also do that by being consistent, by posting to a web page or whatever you do to alert your campus community. Do it on a consistent basis so that that's what they come to expect. It's also very important to always be truthful. Don't lie, because it's not going to get you anywhere. If there is a severe problem, you got to let them know that there is a problem and you're working on it, and maybe you don't know when the problem's going to be resolved. Because in the long run, the only thing that you have is your integrity. So in order to manage campus expectations, they have to trust you and trust that your message will always be truthful. Update, update, update. No news is news. The last thing that you want to do during a prolonged outage is to put an alert up or put out a piece of communications, and because you're still working on it and you don't really know anything new, just let it sit there. They think you forgot. So what we do during a prolonged outage, anything over 24 hours, is we have a standard that even if there's no news, we update the IT status webpage every 4 hours. At the beginning of the business day, around noon, and again at the end of the business day. And during that four-day PantherLink email outage, we became very creative at saying, well, we're still working on it, because we were. But the campus continued to know that they could go to that page for updates and that we would provide them with as much information as we had available. Upstreaming communications is vital. As noted in the process that we have, is we alert our provost as well as our vice chancellor for university relations. The last thing that you want to happen is for your provost to be walking across campus and a faculty member comes up and says, what the heck, your email is down again? You want to be able to update them as soon as possible. We also contact our vice chancellor for university relations in case it's a big enough issue that the media would get a hold of it, the outside media. Again, you don't want those individuals being surprised. So upstreaming is very important. Don't over-communicate. Tailor the message to the audience, and this is from my marketing background. To the campus community, we will often tell them what's wrong, what we are doing to fix it if we're fixing it in a non-technical sort of way, and when we think it might be over and if there are any workarounds. To the local IT professionals, we will communicate in greater detail about the technical aspects of what we're experiencing because they might have a workaround that the campus can use. To the provost and the vice chancellor of university relations, we're going to talk about the scope of the issue and the impact on the campus community so that they are clearly prepared to answer questions. It's not over when it's over. I hope that when you have a major IT incident, you do a post-eval on it. What went wrong? Why did it go wrong? And what can we do in the future to avoid this problem again? And communications should be part of that analysis. How did communications work? Were we too slow? Did we say too much? Did we say too little? Should we have done this? Should we not have done that? We do second guess ourselves, but we learn from that process every time so that we can continually improve upon the process.
All right, bad movie jokes aside. Obviously, this is a never-ending story because it is a continual improvement process, but we wanted to make sure that you knew what happened in April 2009. So what happened was that, yes, it was about a four-day outage of a quarter of our email and calendaring community, but what came out of the post-event for the communications aspect of it is that, yes, people were not happy about the actual service outage, but they were actually overall very, very positive about the communications during those 4 days. So as I said, that was one of the things I think that really saved us in the 4 days was that we did continue to communicate and had processes in place to ensure that we could do an effective job of it. A couple of things that also came out of the post-event were that we used 10 different communications media that ranged all the way from email through the blue line through voice message on the help desk line, and we used 67 different messages throughout the course of the incident as well as the post-incident.
You can find more EDUCAUSE podcasts by visiting our podcast page at www.educause.edu/podcasts or search for EDUCAUSE on iTunes. EDUCAUSE podcasts are now available to listen to straight from your mobile device. Just visit www.educause.edu/mobile. I'm Jerry Bain. Thanks for listening.